Hey, you're listening to the Dan and Cody podcast, episode number 58. Today, we've got the lovely Dan Gilbert with us. If you don't know who he is, you will sooner than later.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
A toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
Not the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, that's right. Not Dan Gilbert.
And not the Harvard speaker or whatever, the inspirational speaker. Not that I've ever Googled myself before.
No, never, right?
A lot of people send me, hey, how's it going with LeBron James? I'm like, I barely even know who LeBron James is. That's I'm a terrible, terrible
well, this
man.
This is Dan Gilbert month, so we got Dan Gilbert, then we have Dan Gilbert, and then...
Oh, then we have Dan Gilbert.
Then Dan Gilbert.
Yep, that's right. We got a series of Dan Gilberts coming up.
Great.
It's the
you're the first though.
You're the first. So
premiere.
Yeah, exactly. So we have two Dans today, which will be a little confusing, but I think we'll work through it, right, Dan?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Did you?
Yes.
No.
We could
maybe.
Help. Dan Gill and Dan Hill.
Hilltown.
Dan Gill and Dan Hill.
No.
Hilltown.
I really don't even know if there needs to be a Cody involved.
No.
To be honest. There's never a need.
Is there other Cody Fredericks?
Yeah, there actually is. He was a high school wrestler in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
That's the only Cody Frederick that I've been able to find.
What happened to Cody?
He grew up, and he decided not to put his name on Google anymore.
He grew up.
That's right.
I got singer Dan Hill.
That's right.
Sometimes when we touch.
Oh, man.
That's Dan Hill.
And then, really? The person that sings that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then there's a bodybuilder, Dan Hill. He's fucking jacked.
Well, I mean, he's a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Like
a professional bodybuilder.
Yeah, professional. Yeah. He's like serious.
He doesn't Dan build Hill. Like animatronic bodies.
Jacked Dan Hill on Instagram.
I only looked at the first page of Google searches, so there might be a bodybuilding Dan Hill.
I think there's a lot of Dan Gilberts that are in prison too. So,
oh really? Okay.
You know, if you dig a little deeper, you can find the real dirt behind people that
the
share
real
your
DGs.
Name. It's unfortunate. Yeah. Maybe they should find those guys and, you know, do a tax audit on them, huh?
You know, I mean, I think they meant to, and they just got me by accident.
Oh, that's too bad. Sorry, the Dan Gilbert we had to do an audit on is in prison, so we'd have planned to do it on you.
Yeah, it works.
So, Dan Gilbert, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, man.
It's a blast. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I originally met you. You worked on Fanorama. You worked on our phase two where we went in green screen stuff.
Yeah.
You were good enough to come on and, basically do, facial appliance to myself.
That's right. We spent a lot of time together, didn't we?
We did. You and I spent some good time. And then
quality
you,
time.
And then you also, had taken care of our boy Marshall, who was Hermes.
He suck. I hate Marshall.
Marshall J. Porter. He's garbage.
Marshall, you're the worst.
You are terrible, Marshall.
He is terrible. I'll agree. But you know what? He's handsome.
He's so
handsome. And talented.
Yeah.
So it's like you can do what you want.
Yeah. He really gets lost in his eyes.
Those eyes are like piercing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He looks a lot like Rob or Fab, whichever one is still around.
Rob or Fab?
From Milli Vanilli.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
See, I was bringing it back to the rain that we were talking about.
Yeah. Earlier.
Don't forget my number. You know?
That's the one you're going to? Not blame it on the rain?
No, everyone goes to that one. Blame it on the rain. You ever hear that one?
I don't think I've ever heard Milli Vanilli.
Man.
Okay, well, so Cody, this is Dan Gilbert talking, so get used to my voice. It's like this. there was these beautiful men named Rob and Fab, and they had a band called Milli Vanilli, but it wasn't a real band. And we didn't find that out until after they won a Grammy or multiple Grammys.
Multiple Grammys.
And
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah.
It was like long-haired Marshall with like braids.
They were like Caribbean models that someone recruited or
something.
To be
musicians. But
to lip sync.
Everything.
And it went bad once. I think one time they had that full-blown... technical difficulty moment where they just kept looping like Blame It on the Rain, and they're just like dancing and they're spandex and
they can't sing it.
People, that is Marshall.
Would it be all right if I actually take would it be all right, Hilltown, if I ended up taking you and Marshall and we recreated one of these pictures?
I would love it. I would love the opportunity. Now, I've been waiting for someone to ask me my entire life to be that. But which one would I be? Would I be the darker one or?
Well, whoever has the least piercing eyes, and I'd actually have to say he's the dark. Yeah, you'll be the darker one.
Okay.
The least piercing eyes.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Marshall's got knife eyes. They'll just cut right through you.
But like the Milli Vanilli was like adored by all. Like, everyone loved Blame It on the Rain. Everyone loved Don't Forget My Number.
Okay.
I don't know how.
And their dance moves.
Oh, they could move.
So easy to follow, though. You know, really, they were trying to reach out to people that were less beautiful and bring them into the fold.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible. Those blonde dreads.
And then as soon as we found out they were lip syncing, like, you just smack yourself on the head and go, there's no way that voice came out of those guys. Like,
yeah.
The singer was like a 60-year-old guy or something.
Really?
Really?
Maybe not 60, but he was much older, and his voice was very different than their speaking. I am Rob, and I am Fab, and then they go, no, that's not how they sing. This is not.
But what a scam to pull over the eyes of the music industry and to win a Grammy?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Like, what other case in history has someone just lied and just totally made their way into success?
Yeah.
And just
it's incredible.
Become a total fraud and
who else would have
I'm gonna kill that dog. I'm sorry. I'm gonna kill that dog. Wherever that dog's coming
from.
Window
open?
There's a dog. Can you hear it in your...
I hear it in my headphones. It's driving me absolutely nuts.
If we could call him Cans, because that's
Cans. I'm sorry. Yeah, my Cans. Sorry.
That's an angry dog.
My fat Cans.
We've been throwing apples filled with Drano over the fence for a while.
Well, I can't wait for him to stop barking.
He's got to sink his teeth in.
Hey.
Milli Vanilli break accomplished.
A little Milli Vanilli break.
Yeah.
Is this Simple Red? Red? Is that what it is?
No, that's Milli Vanilli.
Oh, okay.
This is it, Cody. I'm a love girl.
Look at those shoulder pads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That guy's not
You think that
the
Harlem
drums.
Shake was originated by Robert Fab? Look.
No, I see where Puffy got his moves.
Yeah, does that... Now just... Is that what you expected them to sound like? Yeah, because they didn't. That's the voice of like a 58-year-old choir singer. Yeah.
They're like on the set of those old like I'm drinking milk commercials.
Yeah. It's so funny because back in the like late 80s, early 90s, it was cool to dress up like the characters on the front of men and women's bathrooms where you were like a triangle. Or you're
it's designing women.
I think
they're going for that designing women.
Who at Delta Burke?
Yeah.
Ended up coming over and they were there, you know.
And Meshach Taylor?
Yeah.
Meshach. Oh,
taking it back. When is designing women going to be on Netflix?
Reboot. We need a reboot of that.
I want to see Designing Women meets Stranger Things.
Ooh.
Put that show on, right?
Yeah.
Strange Design.
Dealing.
Strange Design.
In some 80s.
Have you guys already talked about Stranger Things a lot?
We actually haven't because I hadn't watched it. I just finished it.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's
so good.
It's awesome. I like it. I'm a big fan of the creature work. But like the creature, I was like, oh man, it's awesome design. Too bad it's CG. And then I see posts later of all these amazing artists that worked on it. And I'm like, shut up.
A lot of it was done over Spectral, right?
I think a lot of it was Spectral Motion. I'm not sure who.
It's so weird because I'm watching the show with Madeline, and I'm like, man, I swear to God, I've seen this flower head creature somewhere.
Yeah.
And when we were doing Fanorama,
they did
Bender and they did Zoidberg, and they had it there.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's where it's from, because Dan ended up telling me that it was. I didn't even realize it because they didn't tell you what it was from, but I was like, where have I seen that like flower headed face thing?
And this was way after the show came out, so they didn't violate any.
No, it was way after.
It's fine. The guys at Spectral,
Spectral who?
Say what? But you see the SAG Awards?
I did. I watched parts of it. Did you see it at all?
I don't have cable television, so I only watch like news clippings and things like that on.
Well, the cop, Dwayne
Hopper.
Harbor or whatever. Is that his name?
I don't know. The guy that played Hopper.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the cop from Stranger Things.
Yeah, the cop from Stranger Things. He, like, they won. They won, like, ensemble cast in a drama for the SAG Awards. And he had this, like, super passionate speech about that was all but about, like, fighting back and fighting Trump and all this stuff. Wow. But Winona is up there.
I saw that.
Winona's up there totally upstaging him while he's, like, mid, like, passion, and she's like basically mocking the entire speech. Like, what's he saying?
People are saying she was just completely hammered and like
really.
I mean, she's like doing this like loose jowl, it's almost, head shake thing.
Yeah,
it's like Kristen Wiig's up there, like, look at this guy. He's got some jokes.
But it's know? Like I know.
I wish
know
somebody they'd put like somebody like that next to Trump when he speaks.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that she's...
Look at this guy. He's got a lot of funny things to say.
Right now, I volunteer publicly to take that job.
Maybe they should just put Winona on the road.
Oh, but man. Imagine yourself as an actor.
Stealing stuff from the White House.
That's right.
You've been tasked with, all right, if we win, I'm delivering the speech.
Yes.
And he has a speech. He's like his hand's shaking. This is like his moment. And then his coworker is completely undermining it while he's doing it. Sheesh. I would be absolutely furious. And now, not only is the story Winona's crazy faces during the speech, but like the message is completely gone because it's just all memed out now of like Winona. I'd be furious.
Winona, man.
I mean, she was. I hate to say this after because I'm very fresh off of Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. She was terrible.
You thought she was bad?
People either love her in that or they hate her. I think it's the problem I had is my brain kept going, yeah, this is the right period to see Winona Ryder, but not at this age and not in this role.
Really? So you were really like you felt that I think they did a great job of taking you to like 1980. What year was it? Like 85, 84? Yeah. So I think they did a great job there. Yeah. I just felt that she's a mother. But if you're a mom, you want to feel comfortable, like comforted, somebody that really worries about her son. But I felt like she was on drugs, mom. Then they had this moment where like Eleven's in the tub, right?
She lost her boy.
Yeah, but she
probably was on drugs.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like a caring mother. It just seemed like a sporadic drug addict. It like, didn't seem like a woman
well,
that cared
about
her.
She's a hot mess in the show. Like, yeah. Her
boy was speaking to her through lights. What do you want her to be?
Show some compassion.
She was fucking dealing with all of that.
It's not even that. Like, I get she's talking to lights, okay?
Yeah.
She's talking to lights.
You're going to be a little nutty,
I don't
Cody.
Have a problem with the fact she's talking to the lights.
I actually accept it's the way that she's caring for the lights. Yeah. I don't buy it. That's all I'm saying.
Fair.
I didn't buy it that she was a mom. I didn't buy the fact, like, when Eleven's in the tub, she's like, oh, I'm right here for you, sweetie. Don't worry. I love you. Like, well, I just felt like I was watching a terrible Canadian 80s sitcom.
I mean, how many times have you played a single mom?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you know the struggle?
She's playing it like she has to love and coddle Eleven because she knows that Eleven is the only connection to getting her boy.
Here's
back.
What I'm going
to
say to you, Dan. I totally get that. I just don't think she did a convincing job of a caring mother. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, have you ever been to Walmart late at night? Like, there are some... There's a 24-hour Walmart near my workshop.
Touché.
And, you know, sometimes it's the only place to find that one thing that's keeping you from getting a job done. And I walk around Walmart at night, and it's...
Frightening.
Strangers.
You actually,
their characters, Cody, you would be like, I don't believe you. You don't exist. Lady parking your cart sideways while picking your butt crack and like
you don't seem like a caring mother
at the same time.
During the holiday season, the light aisles are just filled with crazy women holding bundles of lights.
Yeah. Man. She had to was like trading her phones in because it kept going electric. Like electric blasts were shocking.
Yeah,
her.
She kept. Yeah,
but true. Yeah, she did, didn't she?
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Be
I should have refreshed
nutty.
That.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You didn't know.
I didn't know you were going to talk about.
No,
it.
She that's
was
okay. You
telephones
great.
On layaway at CVS. Like she was like, "I'll pay you back." She was getting new lamps.
Yeah, because she worked at CVS.
Right.
She's like, Gary, you know I'm good for you. For it. Whatever.
I mean, maybe we should...
Cody, I mean, her boy was gone.
Look, this is not my podcast. but I feel like it would be... Maybe we could download a screenplay from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And Cody, you could...
I would play the mother more convincing than Winona Ryder.
Would you do a line reading?
I would totally do a Winona. I would totally do...
Next week, we'll get the sides for a very touching Winona moment that she nailed.
Yeah.
And Cody will be the mom.
I would so nail it, it would be disgusting. All
right. I mean, honestly, it's all about those kids. Those kids are awesome.
Yeah, they're great.
They are
amazing.
The kids made the show.
A show like that, you got to get the kids right.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it had that Explorers kind of...
Goonies-y.
It had that 1980s nostalgia thing happening, and it really did that successfully, I thought.
Yeah. You get the kids wrong, and you're left with three ninjas kick back.
You do have a little bit of that, like the Three Ninjas meets E.T.
Right. Yeah.
No,
you don't want Three Ninjas.
The third Mighty Duck movie.
And I'd like to take this time to apologize to my dad for making him take us to Three Ninjas Kickback.
That's right.
Very sorry, Dad.
That's love.
Thank you.
Hey, I was a fan of all of those movies.
So, what do you think, Cody? You up for that kind of challenge?
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I just pulled up a Stranger Things pilot script.
Do you have it?
I got it right here.
Well, hey, let's
do
it.
Oh, my God. I should do the whole, like, moment where she's like, here, Joyce says, was that Will I heard back there? Karen, Will? No, just Michael. No? He left? No, wait. No, fuck, I lost my space. I couldn't do it.
You're doing very bad.
I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean...
Let me do a Winona voice. Durr. Sorry, that's not fair.
That was actually a pretty good Winona voice until he said durr.
Oh, let me do a Winona voice. Yeah, I don't know.
Those of you that don't know and haven't seen Fanorama, which you should have.
Which you should have.
I mean, Cody is a very good actor.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
To this day, my girlfriend and I, pretty much whenever one of us grabs a beer from the refrigerator, we go,
I love it.
It's true, though. She loved that part.
You should listen to our other podcast. He doesn't break character. You were totally method throughout that whole thing.
Which one?
Our podcast.
That's right.
You were Fry.
When?
For like since Fanorama came out.
I've been Fry since
before. What? Yeah, we haven't really met the new Cody, the real Cody. Like while you were Fry, you were just Fry.
Oh, that's right.
Throughout,
if you listen to the first 40 episodes to get into Fry, I was just Fry the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's dedication.
Well, you know, I learned it from Winona's School for Acting.
I had to steal this because of a role.
That's right. Well, I hope the future holds more roles for me. Hopefully, I can get into Stranger Things, and I hope you as well, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
let's
work
on it.
We should totally do like Stranger Things, the adult version. Like, where are they 35 years from now?
I'm trying to figure out who I would be in a Stranger Things.
That's
the cop.
Modern day. You could do cop. You could do cop. But if we're taking modern day and we're going to be the four guys.
Don't fucking make me the black guy.
Sorry, man. You got to be.
Do not make me that kid with no teeth.
No, you got to. And by the way, the kid with no teeth was the best fucking thing in those four.
He was good.
He's good.
He was so good.
Hey, man, look at my thumb.
You know that this is called retrodental dysplasia.
Guys, you're friends.
He's
friends.
So good. He has
teeth. It's a palate thing.
Yeah, it's a palate thing, and he does such a good job. Yeah.
Just make up.
No, I thought he did a great job. You didn't like him?
He was good. I just don't want to be him.
Who are you going to be? Will? The kid in the wall?
I want to be the shitty friend who gets all the ass.
Oh, Michael.
He
the leader of the group that sideswipes his boys.
Yeah, he has the dope car. He beats up the friend. He's banging the sister.
Oh, right. You mean Steve?
Yeah.
Steve's terrible.
Steve's getting laid, man.
There is one thing that stood out
to me. Steve's handling biz.
From Stranger Things. I forget the name of his character name, but the cop punches everyone out. Like, that's how he deals with every situation. It's like the writer was like... all right, how does he get out of this maximum security? He's just going to punch out like four guys and then he'll just walk out. It'll be fine. And punch him out and they get knocked out and stay knocked out. Like,
yeah.
In a movie where you get knocked out and you're just like on the ground for what, 25 minutes or something until they have plenty of time to escape.
He breaks into a national laboratory with his fists.
And is able to punch his way out as well.
And punch his way through. Yeah. Like, he gets into it. Cops come, holds him up. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, yeah. Punch, punch. Key card to get into the deepest part of this building. Bro, the most secure.
You guys are underestimating the power of losing a kid.
No, I just underestimate.
He was the man because of that.
Well, I underestimate.
Like, I have a chance to rewrite my wrongs.
Did he?
Yeah. He got the kid back.
Yeah.
Because of his past.
Well,
he learned. He was strong. It was all about breathing. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
The whole, like, his breathing in there.
Yeah, which made no sense.
No.
They didn't introduce. They gave you a little snippet in the first two episodes, maybe.
It's a PSA about smoking. He smoked. Winona smoked.
It was the 80s. And he's like, everybody smoked.
You got to breathe. And his daughter died of cancer. You gotta breathe.
Oh, that's right.
Telling you, man. Telling you.
I feel awful that I didn't. I'm not as current on this as you guys.
Don't feel bad. I just watched it and I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Dude, I eat.
But she did die. The daughter did die.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like implied of cancer. Yeah.
Lung cancer?
Something. I mean, she couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
The whole thing was breathing.
What about esophageal cancer?
It wasn't. She didn't drown, right?
No. Yeah.
But yeah, it could be esophageal cancer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever said esophageal before.
Esophageal.
It's tough. So, Dan, you are you do makeup effects.
Yeah.
How'd you get into it?
Your Instagram is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Check out. What is your Instagram handle?
It's NEFX Dan.
There's some
NEFX Dan.
Necessary Evil Effects.
Dude, I gotta say, yeah.
There's some killer shit on there.
Thank you.
Every day I'm flicking through, they're like, oh my god, this shit is scary as fuck.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's you. Like, do you do your own makeup on yourself?
Yeah, I think okay. Well, I can answer both of your questions
at the same time.
If I tie it together with a story in the voice of a Nona Ryder. No, and at the same time, I'm making a dog barking sound in the distance.
Yeah, that's right. That's impressive.
I basically got into makeup. I was always kind of fascinated with Halloween and horror films and fantasy films and science fiction when I was a kid. Not like a fanboy, but I really enjoyed it and respected it. And when I turned 18, I did a Halloween event at Six Flags Magic Mountain called Fright Fest. Are we allowed to like name names?
Yeah, absolutely.
On the last podcast that, no, I haven't ever done a podcast, they they did a Fright Fest event, and I was a monster in the streets. They call it a walk-around monster, and I was kind of like a gangster, and I had a henchman and a gun mall, you know, like the gals with the big hair and the fur coats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were like a comedy team. That was the intent.
In fact, it didn't come across that way.
What happens at Halloween events, I don't know if you've ever been to one, people aren't particularly nice to the monsters in the streets.
Yeah.
So it really quickly, like immediately, became an insult comedy kind of thing. And this was back before Halloween events were really having anybody speak. It was like the kind of, and then walk away kind of thing. They were like, we're going to try something different. We're going to have you speak.
So you're roaming freely through
the park.
I was staged in the Gotham City area,
okay,
which is now called City Under Siege, which I think is a terrible choice, but that's okay. It's not, I don't have any say over that. They, so I basically started firing back insults at people because within the PG-13 realm, without trying to, you know, take it into like inappropriate level. Mm-hmm. And it became this kind of thing. It got popular. We walked around and just ripped on people, and they try to go up to you and be like, oh, your face is yellow, and be like, oh, really? And you just get really mean, and they don't expect that.
Yeah.
So that became kind of a thing. I loved doing it as a performer. I loved the makeup process. I thought it was really cool. I got really into it. And from, you know, I ended up doing that event for several years and becoming friends with makeup artists and being really excited by the makeup process. And then years later, I ended up doing modeling for trade shows for a big makeup company called Premier Products. And
nice.
At Monsterpalooza and the International Makeup Artist Trade Show and big shows like that. And I had a lot of fun with that. And then one of the makeup artists basically told the owner of the company, hey, you know, Dan is like kind of interested in this stuff. And so he hooked me up so deep with products to play with. And I basically went home and I borrowed prosthetic pieces from one, you know, a friend's company and used this makeup. And I put makeup on myself. Mm-hmm. After a while, I felt like I was doing better with it. And I sent pictures to the company that donated the makeup. And the owner said, so you did that makeup? And I was like, yeah, I did that makeup. You did that on yourself? Yeah, I did it on myself. Do you think you could do that in front of other people? And I said, I guess. Like, I don't. I'm not a makeup artist. Like, right. I'm an actor, but if you, I don't care. Like, maybe as a perspective for haunters or cosplay people. So that's how it started. I actually did a makeup demonstration. I think the first one was at the first Monsterpalooza show.
Yeah.
In Burbank at Marriott. And
I love those shows.
Oh, they're awesome. By far my favorite trade shows.
Yeah. A lot of cool stuff going on over there.
Yeah. It's just, if you haven't been to Monsterpalooza or Son of Monsterpalooza, it's really worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a quick makeup on myself just using one of these makeup palettes and like a toothbrush and a paintbrush and a sponge. And people actually really responded well to it. And then I ended up doing one at the International Makeup Artist Trade Show. And then I started sculpting and building prosthetic makeups to apply to myself, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. At one point, you know, people are like, can you do this on other people? And I think I could do it on other people. It turns out it's a lot easier to do it that way than, you know, back at yourself.
Yeah.
So I ended up kind of taking little projects, and I ran my first feature, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. And it just kind of, I said, if I can pull this off on the feature film level, I mean, low budget feature, but then I'll go for it. And it was a success. It's a film called April Apocalypse.
April Ooh. Apocalypse.
That's a romantic comedy zombie adventure coming of age story.
Oh, wow.
I'm in. I'm buying what you're selling.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And so that's basically how I got into it. And it's just been just kind of, just what's the word? Not an avalanche. What do they call that?
Snowball?
Snowballing.
Yeah.
Which means something completely different if you Google it. Yeah.
Not safe for work.
No.
So did you have any kind of artistic background before you were messing with makeup on yourself?
I mean, both my whole family, they're artists in one respect or another. My sister was a professional dancer, and she went to art school and in high school, boarding school. And she went to UC Berkeley as a dance major.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was around a lot of art. My dad was, you know, for fun, he was actually a very talented sculptor, sculpting wood, marble, clay, wax,
nice,
everything. And so I would sculpt too, you know,
if sure.
he would give me clay or Play-Doh or something to mess with, and we'd sculpt together. My mom would paint. And so I just grew up around a lot of people with an artistic, you know, that artistic bug.
Yeah.
And I tried to draw a lot. I had a lot of friends that were great artists, and my 2D art, I was never really making what I wanted to make. Photography, I could kind of start to make more, and then I became a kind of a filmmaker, you know, went to school, did some filmmaking, and just sort of tried to find my niche for art. And so makeup incorporates a lot of my favorite elements of art. So,
yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So you're like a sponge. You're just kind of picking it up as you go.
I'm okay at a lot of things and not great at anything yet.
I can dig that. That's I like to call myself a pop culture king. Like, yeah. I know a lot about a little bit.
Yeah, you guys have pop culture.
I know
culture
a little bit
knowledge.
About a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's intimidating. I
primarily just knowledge about, you know,
dumb stuff.
Well, Winona Ryder's career.
Did you know that Winona Ryder started the movie Beetlejuice at the age of 12?
Wow.
She turned 13 on set.
Wow.
And she was actually blonde.
Wow.
Lydia Deetz.
It's true. I didn't know that.
I was made up by the makeup team for Beetlejuice once for one of the Monster Palooza shows.
How'd it go?
It was awesome. That was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Like you dressed up as Beetlejuice?
I mean, I did.
They turned him into Beetlejuice. It's pretty amazing.
I did a Beetlejuice makeup on myself years later. Okay. Which was my take on Beetlejuice. It was a little different.
I got to go through my Monster Palooza pics because I bet I got one of you then.
Yeah.
So I remember that vividly. So you're one of the guys like the show starts and like they start working on somebody mm-hmm. and that somebody's just there for hours.
That's me. I've been at every Monster Palooza and Son of Monster Palooza.
Damn.
Doing demos like that.
I've been at the last like probably 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Huh.
It hasn't been around 10 years.
No.
It's only been around like 6 or 7, though, right?
I think it's even less than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last year was the first year they went to
Pasadena.
They went to Pasadena and got mm-hmm. a bigger space.
Because there was too many people coming. It was mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah, Burbank's they sold out the Pasadena Convention Center, which is quite a bit larger than the Burbank Marriott Convention Center.
Yeah.
Do you know the Hyperflesh table? They did those people running around as like Trump, Hillary, and Bernie.
Oh, the really nice likeness masks.
Beautiful.
And they have those baby faces. Yeah. I want one of those so bad.
Yeah, they do cool work.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting
stuff. That's some cool shit. So can you do masks and stuff too? Or is it mostly...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not my specialty.
Right.
Pull overhead masks. I've had to build a few, mostly for stunt applications.
Gotcha.
I do some work for that side of the... effects industry. Like if you're gonna have a stuntman say get blown up with propane bombs and come out of a building on fire, mm-hmm. you're not gonna, his face is gonna be covered with all kinds of protective equipment. And so basically I've built masks that will pull over like these 3-layer hoods, Nomex and PBI hoods, and with Pyrex lenses, and they would look like a scuba diver from like, you know, the 40s or something, not scuba diver, but they'd look like, because scuba wasn't invented in the 40s. I feel the need to change voices when I have to correct myself. You should never give me a microphone and a headset at the same time.
No, you're doing great. Okay. You're doing a good job.
I'm like mesmerized.
So I have to build a mask sometimes to pull over their fire protection or respirator tubes or something so that they at least look like a human being.
Sure.
Somewhat.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
Yeah, that's cool.
What? Obviously, you're a fan of horror. What were your favorite horror films growing up?
Back in the days of video stores, you could have your parents basically write you on a list to rent R-rated movies, and I was pretty much a latchkey kid, so I was on the list to basically rent anything.
They just check the clipboard and be like, Dan Gilbert,
After the first two nights, they didn't have to check the clipboard.
Right, they know me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Dan Gilbert boy again.
Hey, Tom, I'm just going to be in the R section.
Yeah, I mean,
for
all the millennials out there, this is how it would work. You'd go to Video Barn, my local video store, and you'd present your laminated Video Barn card. And Video Barn would say... You know, I'd walk to the counter with, say, Halloween 3.
With physical tapes.
Yeah.
With VHS tapes.
I remember those days. I missed them.
Yeah.
It was a good period of time. It's like you always look forward to that time. I'd go every Friday. Mm-hmm. I'd have seven movies. My mom would just be like, there you go. Now go down to your room and shut up.
Leave me alone. Stop ruining my life. Why does your mom sound like that?
I have no idea. She's a smoker.
Cody. That's why you have a skewed perception of what Winona Ryder's character was doing.
You're probably right. No.
That's
my mother's a lovely woman. She's a beautiful woman.
Quit flickering those lights. I will put you in the closet. Cody, stop resisting me. Get the tear gas.
Love you, Mom. Love you, Mom.
Love you. I love her, too. I don't even know her. So you go to the counter. You present your Video Barn card, and they look at you kind of sideways like, are you allowed to rent this? And then they look you up and, oh, okay, if your parents say it's okay, we don't have to deal with your whatever criminal you turn into.
Right.
I think to answer your question, when I was a kid, my favorite horror films were probably the Halloween films.
Okay.
I liked The Nightmare Before, The Nightmare Before Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm, all these horror fans, I mean, this guy's not a makeup artist, he doesn't know anything. Nightmare on Elm Street, I loved. But I was really scared by a lot of stuff when I was a kid, but I just kept trying to, I saw The Omen.
Yeah.
I was way too young to watch all of this stuff. I probably saw The Omen when I was like 6 or 7, 8, maybe. I don't know. It was, and I was terrified.
Yeah.
Like, that nanny. Like,
I don't know if I've seen The Omen.
The Omen is, it's a lot like The Exorcist. And it's.
Kid gets possessed.
No, the kid is the devil. Like, he's the devil reincarnated, basically.
And oh, did they remake this?
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Don't watch that one.
I think I've seen the remake.
Now, I know how you feel, because I think I watched horror films at too young of an age to put me off the rest of my life, because I have two big ones that hit me. When I was like 4 or 5, I watched Silver Bullet.
Yeah.
Silver Bullet fucking scared the shit out of me. Oh, my God. Silver Bullet scared the shit out of me. And
Corey
then,
Haim.
For whatever reason, I watched Puppet Master.
Oh, yeah.
And you had the little puppets that would be like, hello there. Yeah. And they'd make little noises. And you had the one guy with
the
drill head.
The trench coat.
Yeah, the trench coat was like a creepy, like a flasher in a weird way.
Yeah, he was awful.
And they'd kill Nazis. Yeah. It was such a weird, like, oh.
The thing that was amazing about the video store, it was that you could look at the box covers, and they were so awesome.
They were so awesome.
And they were so scary. And you on the front cover, you have like the movie poster kind of image. And on the back, they'd have a couple scene pictures.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, man.
No, you're right. That it's strange because you missed that. It's almost like it's like going down a cereal aisle, but with like the best cereals.
There's a lot of babes in this one.
There's a lot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, seriously.
That's right. You'd immediately flip the box and be like, there's Dracula. We gotta get this one.
Yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't even read this.
No, those girls are in bikinis. There must be a lot of that. I'm getting this.
I'm pretty sure the downfall of the video store was all these straight to video movies, especially in the horror section, that looked awesome.
Yeah.
And then because the box cover's awesome, and then you rent them and you're like,
this
is shit. Man, I did not realize you spent 9/10 of your budget on the art for the cover of your DVD.
It got, we appreciate, so diluted.
But you wasted an hour and a half of my time.
The other thing that sucked about the video store was like the new release section would be like a wall of the same movie.
Yeah.
But then behind it would be
no video.
No rental.
So you'd
box
run
to
over
take.
There to grab whatever it was, and you pull the empty box, and then behind it would just be the like generic box with the label on it.
Right.
But yeah, sometimes they're gone.
They're gone, man. That would be a sad day.
That was hard. I think when I was a kid, I wanted to master my fear of these things, like. You know, I used to draw ghosts on. I had a bunk bed when I was a kid, but I was the only one that lived in it. You know, slept in it. Yeah. My dad built it. It was crazy, and I would draw with crayons like ghosts and monsters and stuff like on the roof of the bed because you could just kind of wipe it down afterwards. Yeah. I think I remember drawing ghosts because if I did that, then they wouldn't be able to get me. You know, I think maybe that's when I started watching horror films, getting into it. Because, you know, there's a lot of power in fear. And and if you can take that power and create the fear yourself, it's not scary. I mean, not when I was older was I, like, so afraid I had to start doing makeup. But I think that's what, like, opened my eyes to that whole world. I think I was more influenced, honestly, by other types of films rather than just horror films. More like character makeups and creature makeups and things that were, you know, more in the fantasy realm than you know, the straight horror films. Because the horror films I really liked were less on the makeup side anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I you know, still I like horror films, but I'm not the fan that a lot of these makeup artists are. And, you know, I feel like kind of outside that club sometimes, you know, when you see the guy and he's got the Bride of Frankenstein tattooed on one side of his neck and Dracula on the other side of his neck. And I'm going, yeah, those movies are great, but they're not the reason I do this, where for a lot of people they are.
Sure.
You know, even with Fanorama, we dealt with a lot of makeup guys, and it's strange. There's there are two very different kinds of makeup people in the world. And there's those like diehard, like kind of in their head types. And then there's the guys that are like, you would never guess they were even into makeups on the streets. It's really interesting. Really? Yeah. Yeah. You'd be surprised. But, no, I mean, I respect the hell out of what you've done with us. And
thank you.
I'm excited to definitely see, you know, where your career takes you. Cause you know, talented dude, you got a lot going on.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was super cool. Of those guys to bring me on, and you know, you never know where you're gonna work next as a freelance artist or performer, obviously. And when I got that call, I was so stoked about it.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
You know, from Glenn Griffin and Danny Wagner were the ones that brought me on, and I just thought that was gonna be the coolest thing. And I love doing applications. You know, we did a lot of work with Gelatin, and I had very limited experience with Gelatin.
Love Gelatin.
There's always room.
There's always room.
But he was a great experience, and Dan is such a, it like has a crazy eye for detail that unless you work with him, I don't know that you could get his insane ability to just know when it's right. And that's a challenge, but it also, I think, made everything so good in the final bit.
From a visual standpoint, yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely.
I mean
he has an eye like, yeah.
Some directors you could be like,
no, man, that's
he's
okay.
Not going to notice this. With Dan, we're like, no, he's going to notice that.
Yeah.
He's going to notice it from across the room.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You've got to make sure you have your shit together when you work with that man.
I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. They're huge, okay? Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming into an event near you? Are they coming into town and you don't want to put them up in your place, but you know you're going to need the rooms? Not a problem. Weddings, family reunions, bachelorette parties, corporate events, holiday parties. Huge. They research hotels in your wedding venues. Who was that you're asking? JC Roomblocks. That's who. JC Roomblocks comes and they look for rooms for your family, for your friends, for people you care about, for people that need places to stay. They set up Roomblocks. What do? Oh, no big deal. You get deals on rooms because you took so many rooms at one time. And guess how much they cost? Let me tell you, nothing. Free. If you tell them the Dan and Cody podcast sent you, you get a free service from JC Roomblocks. Now, check out JC Roomblocks at jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Do yourself a favor. Follow them. Check them out. When you need their service, they're going to be there for you. They're ran by two quality ladies who know how to handle big situations, if you know what I mean. So, since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. And who doesn't want possible low rates? I know I do. Check them out. JC Roomblocks. So you act, you do stuff like that. I mean, do you have a preference? Would you rather be performing versus doing makeups?
No. I want to make things. I want to make art. That's a question I get a lot, you know, from people that find out I do a bunch of different types of work. You know, what is it? If you could do one thing, what would it be? And I want to make art. I would love to not be accountable to tons of different producers.
Yeah, right.
And tons of different people that kind of dampen the joy of the art, you know, like just the fact that it's a business and there's a lot of money and a lot of people riding on it. And you could deliver exactly what somebody wants one day, and then they want you to completely change it for no money by tomorrow. That kind of takes a lot of the fun out of it. I mean, if it was a perfect world, I would be doing makeups and maybe photo shoots or creating art that I want to create in that genre.
You know,
I love all elements of my work and I'm spoiled, you know, so it's hard not to pick, but luckily we live in Los Angeles, California, where you have to have 8 or 9 jobs.
Sunny CA.
Just to survive.
So you're over at Universal.
I do work for a theme park in Universal City.
Nice.
I'm not as scared as the performers that work at Disney. Those guys will.
They won't say anything about it?
If you talk to Disney performers and you could say, oh, yeah, I heard you played Princess, whoever, they're like, oh, I work with Princess so-and-so. Like, because
they just can't,
they'll get a dart in the neck and
really,
like, they're
the mouse don't play,
they do not play, and I respect that. I mean, I've worked in theme parks, that was like one of my first jobs when I was 16. I was a bodysuit character, Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Nice,
and that's a whole podcast if you want. but yeah, I mean,
time, man.
You learn to have respect for the illusion to, you know, this is what people pay this kind of money and wait in these lines because they want to escape their reality and check their brain at the door and eat a bunch of bad stuff and be self-indulgent. And so there's a certain responsibility, you know, as a performer to not ruin that for them. And Disney takes that to another level. You know, you do not tell anyone that you play whoever. You can say you work with them. You know, Universal is another way. Universal is like that with some of their characters. You know, you can't say, you know, I play the Wolfman, but you could, you know, they definitely, I do the Waterworld stunt show, and they want you to be a Hollywood actor. So they'll say, you know, from Code Black, it's Dan Gilbert, you know, or whatever. And they want that legitimacy. So it's a weird mixture of that. So I'm, part of my brain goes, oh, can you talk about this kind of thing? And some of the things you can absolutely talk about. So there's a lot of licenses and you know, Universal has so many different, you know, DreamWorks and Hasbro and Nickelodeon and, you know, all these different licenses that they've got to balance. So, yeah, so I work at, that's a really long-winded answer.
Stunt show.
I feel like Jim Gaffigan.
Stunt show.
That's a really long answer.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Hot Pocket.
Yes.
Hot Pocket.
I'm fat. I worked the Waterworld stunt show at Universal, and that's a blast. That show's been going on for over 20 years. It's by far better received than the movie in the United States, probably.
I love that movie.
I love the movie, too. The ending sucks, but I do love the movie, and I loved it as a kid. And
yeah. I thought it's dope, just like Universal, like... the beginning of it, it's the Universal world, and then like the water just expands over the continents.
The polar ice caps have melted.
Yeah.
And the continents.
Yeah.
Are deep beneath the waves. Awesome. Don LaFontaine.
Kevin Costner has gills.
Yeah. Have you seen Waterworld the musical, the Funny or Die movie with Patrick Warburton?
No.
Yeah.
Does he play Costner's character?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know what I'm doing after this.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
That show is a blast, and it's...
Are you doing, like, the stunts and diving and all that stuff?
Yeah. I play the role of Smoker Number 6, also known as Vernon, which is a tribute to one of our performers that actually died, not doing the show. He had a massive heart attack. Really good guy, so they actually... It was really cool. They named the role after him.
That's cool.
And basically, yeah, I'm the big bully henchman for the Deacon. So I drive big boats, shoot shotguns, and fight with hammers, and jump in the water.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we used to do high falls. We don't do high falls anymore. I do jump over a jet skier that's going full speed. Yeah.
And that's like high energy, man. How many shows do you do in a day for that?
We can do up to 5 shows per cast. I've done 7 or 8 before because something happened to one of the performers I had to fill in. It's a butt kicker. I'm not going to lie, especially in the winter.
I know. Madeline and I, we went to Universal like Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And they were doing Waterworld?
Yeah, they were doing the Waterworld show. Hell, and I got to be honest, it was... cold as shit.
Really?
Yeah, I think the water was about 50 degrees on
Christmas
Eve.
I bet it was. It was cold as shit.
That's honestly the hardest thing about it. And you know, you kind of have to psych yourself up for it because your brain has this reaction the minute before you hit the water that's like, stop. What balls. Are you doing? You don't have to do no. this. So, like, why are we doing this?
No.
Your balls go into your stomach every fucking day.
It's a lot, you know. 50-degree water will give you hypothermia real quick. And, mm-hmm. and you know, they let us wear wetsuits and things like that. And some people just
don't.
Won't. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I don't wear a full wetsuit except for when we're, like, in the pool for a really long time, like training water rescues or something like that. I'll wear a jacket, basically. I mean, part of it is that I'm a little fat for my costume, so if I wear a wetsuit underneath it, it won't really fit. But also, it's tiring, so you have to figure out. Have you ever worn a wetsuit before?
No.
Yeah, I put one on.
Can you imagine running in it?
It's very constrictive. Yeah. And then wet, I could imagine it being way heavy too.
The weight, I don't think, is so much of an issue. It's definitely the resistance, though. Like, if you kick and punch, it's like having rubber bands resisting you all the time.
Really, the whole time. And you're especially in a position where you need to be flexible and moving around. And
I'm not particularly flexible. Flexibility's never been one of my strong suits. But yeah, like, you have to fight, you know, you have to jump over fences and go down slide poles and be agile, you know? And I'm right there next to some of the most talented stunt guys in Los Angeles and women that are just out there killing the game every day in film television, and they do this as a steady job.
Wow.
And it's also, there's a certain cool factor to it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a stigma in the stunt world sometimes for live shows, but you never hear that with Waterworld. People are like, "Oh, you do Waterworld? That's cool." That's like,
cuz it's the best show.
It's the number one.
I've never
one.
Seen it. I got to see this.
You
thing.
Do.
I gotta see this.
It's down until April. They're rebuilding the set and upgrading a bunch of technology, so we should have an even cooler show when we come back.
And is it all like pre-blocked for you? Like, and like a fight coordinator just comes in and says, "Okay, you're going to be doing this now."
The show is very scripted. All the fights are scripted, are all blocked out in this choreography. There are improvisational elements, and, you know, especially in the pre-show. There are definite differences between the performers and the casts. My team, we're super tight. We're all like a family. We're really dialed, and we do our show different than like one of the other teams might do it. You know, we're a little faster. We go a little hard. So yeah, I mean, the fight.
Is there beef? Is there like, "Oh, it's the fucking red team over there"?
That's funny you said that. It used to be red, white, and blue teams.
Oh, really?
Now it's the full-time team and the part-time team. There's a little bit of friendly competition.
Yeah.
I think my team is really tight and close and almost annoyingly so.
Mm.
We're the part-time team, which means we work 4 days a week most of the time, whereas the full-time team works 4 days too, but they tend to get a few more shows a week.
Okay.
And you know, being that they do a few more shows, they're also a little bit more beat up and a little more tired. But we also just the teams are kind of put together smartly for chemistry.
Mm.
And the full-time guys tend to kind of be a little more to themselves and doing their own thing. And the part-time team, like, we must be so annoying to those guys. We walk in and we're like, "Part-time, party time team's here." Like, we cross over with the full-time, and you can kind of see them rolling their eyes at us. But we're just like, it makes that job so much better. It makes it tolerable when you're like, "It's 50-degree water. You know, I'm going to hang out with my buddies, and we're going to get coffee at the beginning of the day, and we're going to practice our fights."
Yeah.
It's just a cool experience.
Awesome, man.
That's fun, dude. I'm trying to be on the part-time team.
Yeah.
You think I could do it?
I'm trying to think what role you would be. How tall are you, Dan?
5'10".
Is there a black guy in the Waterworld show?
It doesn't matter. It could be. I mean,
there's black people in Waterworld. We can't swim that good, but damn it. We survive.
We have a couple black guys at Waterworld, and they're some of the most insanely talented stunt performers I've ever seen. So,
really?
Yeah, I mean, one of our guys is Kevin Hart's stunt double, Jay Paul. He's kind of, we call him Big Time because he hardly has any time to do our show because he's out doubling Kevin Hart on everything.
Kevin Hart's a physical dude, so of course he's got a stunt double, man. Seriously, I mean,
all the movies are pretty intense.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you something.
I got to get my stunt double in here, and then I got to have my stunt double come in because my stunt double, he's the man. He got better ass than me, so I always have him in my shots.
That's Kevin Hart. He's my ass double.
Yeah, he's my ass double. I got a cute ass, but I like to keep my ass to myself.
Oh man, speaking of ass, that's another thing about doing a water show, being in a locker room, small locker room with 10 dudes.
Oh my god, I was gonna talk about this.
Eight dudes.
But I started going to the gym again, right?
Oh, I bet you did.
Which means I'm starting to see a lot of old people dick
old
again.
Old man dick and balls.
God damn it. Yeah. Why?
What do you mean? I don't understand.
All right,
old guys, like, I don't know what happens. What at a certain age, you don't care anymore. You know, like most of us at the gym, you know.
What age is
you
that?
You do a towel move. Okay, yeah,
you towel off.
Dude,
you turn towards your locker.
You're not necessarily hiding
off.
It, but you're not like prancing it out like it's ready to see town. Oh,
you'll see an old dude at the gym with his foot on the counter of the sink. Just like just shaving his face. But for some reason, his foot's on the counter and his balls are just all long and dangly and
Cody, they don't give a
silver haired.
They don't give a shit. And it's like, just try. Just make an ounce of effort.
Have you gone up to him and been like, nice dick?
No, I can't. I can't. And like, I'm not the one to like look, but like, it's there. And like, I'll just beeline it to the locker, throw my shit in, turn around like the other way, but still, it's like,
that's not me. I mean, I'm and I mean, everybody's comfortable with each other in the locker room, and you know, I've just never been that way. Like if I pull it out, I don't even want to look at it unless I'm gonna put it somewhere I want to put it. Like I don't. There's moves.
I do a towel.
Yeah,
and then I'll take off my underwear or something.
Surfer wrap.
Yeah, and then I put the underwear on while the towel is still on.
Couple of dudes at the show, they're not shy, and a couple of dudes have lots of reason not to be shy, and they just walk around, and it's just terrifying. And all the guys, like, people get comfortable in their Speedos, and I don't wear Speedos. I'll wear board shorts. I understand there's a risk with that. Okay, right. You wear board shorts, you could, you know, land hard, and your balls could bounce, and you could pull a testy.
Oh wow, yeah. Really?
But I'm willing to make that choice because I think ever since I was a little kid, I was like, I'm never gonna want to wear Speedos.
I've never ever
been a no Speedo
hammock,
guy.
No,
thong,
not at all.
Dance belt.
Yeah,
made it this far. 34, no Speedos. I don't know why I need.
I mean, I go boxer briefs.
Oh yeah, I do boxer.
But I can't
briefs.
Do mid-level like regular support. Underwear. Yeah, it's mid level support. Yeah, I like the security on the legs. Yeah. But I don't. I like to feel it down to, you know.
But Jesus, I don't know what age this is where
you don't care anymore.
Where you just don't care anymore. I think I'm always just gonna care, or like I'm always gonna have the decency to know that there's gonna be other people that don't necessarily want to see dicks every time they go in the gym.
Yeah,
you know.
And I'm one of those people. I would live my life happily with never seeing another man's penis.
Yeah, it's like fuck.
And I think that would be like a goal to strive for. Not that I'm like worried about it. Like I know they exist. I mean, that's how we were created.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Physiologically. Right. I just don't need them in my life.
Yeah. Don't want to see it. Don't just know.
And I have to all the time.
And these dudes, they'll be like, oh, just walking around. Like they have the high blow dryer.
Yeah.
You seen that? Where it does like the body dryer.
They're blow drying their balls off. Like, I've seen that before too.
Hands on their hips. Like freaking Captain Morgan. And like just airing out the dick,
just using the Dyson air blade to just blow their twig and berries dry.
Yeah, then they just waltz kind of back over to their locker, and it's like micro penis. I'm like, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
At a certain point, I don't think people care anymore. I mean, maybe it's if you're not using it, you know, like maybe if you're just kind of like, look, I you know, I'm gonna die soon. I just so like, what am I gonna be shy about the penis? Like,
I guess.
You just give up on everything.
I guess so, man.
Except the gym, apparently.
Yeah, you're still at the gym.
Still going to the gym, making sure you're fit.
I guess.
Putting out the vibe.
It's traumatic.
Too much dick at the gym, guys.
Put your dicks away.
Put your dicks away. Do us all a favor. If you're listening and you're one of these people, we don't want to see it. But we're not crazy that we don't want to see it, you know?
Because then what happens is you're going to walk in the room, and just before you can stop yourself, you're going to, like, see it. And then you, like, are like,
it's there.
But then it looks like you were looking at it, and got caught looking at it and tried to like snap right. away. And yeah. in reality, why are you looking at me like that, Cody?
Cody, put your dick away.
I got to be honest
Cody's
with you.
Cody's penis is out, right? Wow.
I got to be honest with you, Mr.
Substantial.
Wow, thank you. It's.
Are you part of the problem?
No. Trust me, man.
Trust me, I don't go to the gym.
I'm one of those. I'm part of the never nude group.
Okay.
I shower with jean shorts on. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's like.
Weird yeah. science.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And there's two schools of thought, too, but with at the show, where they're guys that are like me, do the towel move and like make it a thing. If you've got to be naked, like you're putting on a wetsuit,
yeah.
You just do it, but you don't make a thing of it.
Yeah, put some pep in your step, maybe.
And then there are other dudes doing the helicopter dick, you know? It's just going to happen.
It's just out of control.
What are you looking at over there, Cody?
So, recently I've started to follow the Iron Sheik.
Nice.
Have you?
Is it because I retweeted it?
Yeah.
He's still around.
Awesome.
Yes. Have you read any of these Iron Sheik Instagrams and
the
tweets?
Iron Sheik is the best Twitter account to follow.
First of all, he does this, and
he's
then he has
all
this.
Bloody and awesome.
His saying is, go fuck yourself, jabroni. So he says jabroni after everything, right?
I thought that was The Rock's thing.
The Rock got it from
he
Iron
got it
Sheik.
From Iron did he? Sheik.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't followed wrestling Sheik. Entertainment in a minute.
Sheik is the original gangster, and he'll tweet at like celebrities and be like, I'd love to see the fuck face Kevin Costner.
Oh.
I will bury him.
Awesome.
Like he just says awesome
he
shit.
He talks so much shit. So there's a picture of that's not the Iron Sheik. Hold on. Real Iron Sheik. So there's a picture of like Hogan, like Hulk Hogan said some kind of Twitter. So here's his tweet. Hulk Hogan wrote January 23rd, 1984. I won the WWF belt from the jabroni Iron Sheik.
Oh, snap.
Hard to believe that was 33 years ago, brother.
Oh, Hulk Hogan, but the Iron Sheik's not going to put up with that.
No, because he's actually saying like, thanks, it's been a long time.
Is the Iron Sheik, is he like, is he Persian?
He's Iranian.
He's Iranian.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's Iranian.
And jabroni, is that a...
I don't know what jabroni is.
But it's a common saying in Iran.
His response to it was, 33 years ago, God saved me from breaking some jabroni howdy-doody neck-raising balls neck.
Oh, my God.
Never forget who make Hulkamania. Because after, and I looked this up today, after the Iron Sheik lost and gave Hogan the World Wrestling Federation Championship, he was like champion for 5 years.
Yeah.
And the Iron Sheik was like he was considered what they call a transitional champion.
He was a heel, right?
Oh, he was. He's considered like the greatest heel of all
right.
time.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. So
listen to this tweet. He said, I am the Iranian American. Whoever tried to ban me, I take to my country's suplex city.
Nice. Man, I used to get so emotionally involved in wrestling when it was WWF and
I loved it, man.
The cheating that went on, it made me so upset.
Oh.
And I took that in so to heart, and then at some point I don't know, you know, some people just stick with it and I never did.
Yeah.
I work with one of like a pretty big name wrestler, does the Waterworld show.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean he's I guess he's like, I've only watched a few highlight fights, matches, whatever they're called. His name is Christopher Daniels, and he's like a legend in like hardcore wrestling. And he's the nicest guy, and he still wrestles, and he's still badass. And like, you know, you see him in the locker room, be like, oh man,
dude,
what's
that? He's pretty young, 46.
Yeah. And you know, you see him in the locker room and have a big bruise on his back, and you're like, what happened? Oh, steel chair.
Damn,
it's pretty cool. It's a whole different
steel
walk
chair
of
in
life.
The back. No big deal.
Whole different walk of life.
So they really get hit with the steel chairs.
Yeah,
yeah.
They just take them with a lot of surface area.
Yeah, they take it.
Shit.
They take a major beating.
And I did a thing with Mick Foley in Chicago for a Halloween trade show a long time ago, and he was like the nicest guy ever.
Really?
Yeah.
He was a Mankind, right?
Mankind and Cactus Jack, and
Mr.
maybe one
Socko.
One other one. He was some hippie character,
fucking,
too.
He'd stuff a sock down your throat and make you barf.
I still think that, The Undertaker is cool. People like that.
Absolutely. Like The Undertaker's... He's old as shit.
He's cool.
But they, like... Is it still the original Undertaker?
Yeah.
It's the same guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. It is the same guy.
They made him, because they made him like, for a while, they like transitioned him into like this biker badass.
Mm-hmm. He's really a biker.
Is he?
Yeah.
And but I liked him like when I was a kid and he was like for real like undead.
He's not that old.
And he was like
he's badass.
The Undertaker?
He's only 51.
Damn.
Did who kill him?
Didn't Kane kill him?
Maybe on like in the story arc or something. Yeah, I thought that the his manager was even creepier.
Paul Bearer.
Undertaker.
This fat, pale mortician character,
right?
And he would like cheat so hard.
Yeah.
Oh man,
Paul Bearer and my mother, same impression that I did.
Oh my god, Daniel,
that's awesome.
Oh my god,
he did a thing at Horror Nights at Universal Hollywood years ago, and I heard a story about how cool he was. That he had just had like his appendix taken out or something.
Paul Bearer?
No, the Undertaker. And he had to do some opening event, parade, press event. Mm-hmm. And he's on his motorcycle, which is like a, you know, Harley, like hardtail with like no suspension. Mm-hmm. And he's riding through. And the director who told me the story goes, oh my God, you're bleeding. Like he's bleeding from his back. And he's like, oh yeah, I had surgery this morning. Like he just doesn't care. Like these guys are, they're like, they're hardcore stunt guys, and they're actors, and they're badasses. Like, just what they do, and the amount of crap they have to put up with.
Yeah.
They're
and the
just,
travel.
It's amazing. I it's another side. It's
I
another.
Couldn't deal with all that travel, man. They're in, like,
or
city
the stretch marks.
City.
Yeah, I don't I don't see how they do it.
The Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, so
what are those stripes? Those are cool. Those are stretch marks, honey.
I watched his documentary, man. He was my favorite.
The Ultimate Warrior?
Ultimate Warrior,
yeah. He was
yeah.
crazy.
He was insane. Is he dead?
Yes,
he
is, unfortunately.
The amount of chemicals.
Recently, right?
I'm only going to bring up dead celebrities today.
That's okay.
Probably.
It's Randy fine. Savage, Macho Man.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, brother.
He had a heart attack while he was driving his Jeep. Flipped it. The Macho Brother, I'm an actor. Ooh, I can't do my Macho Man.
Tear into the spice.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Snap into a Slim Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim. But then he'd be like, tear into the spice. It was like both, right?
The Undertaker is 6'10".
Yeah.
That's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
Holy shit.
Do you remember when he fought Yokozuna?
No, I don't. Was it WrestleMania?
It was a casket match.
It was the sumo guy.
It was a casket match.
It was a casket match, and Yokozuna, I think he won. And like that's how the Undertaker,
the 80s were the best, though.
It was crazy.
You had Andre the Giant. You had Hulk Hogan. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Sergeant Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember,
Big John Studd.
Sting.
The Junkyard
Dog.
Yeah,
that was WCW, which would come on later after WWF.
Yes, I watched WCW when I was a kid.
Sting, Junkyard though, couldn't keep his makeup stuck. He should have used Skin Illustrator. Probably sealed with green marble.
Right? Is that what it was?
Jimmy Fly Snuka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Jimmy Fly Snuka, Iron Sheik make statement about Jimmy Fly
Andre the
Snuka.
Giant,
really?
Hulk Hogan, when Hulk Hogan body slammed him, and he totally helped him out. But that was one of the coolest things ever.
It's pretty great to see. It's pretty great to see.
We amazing. Should go to a WrestleMania. I went to one.
I still have friends that are just dorked out about wrestling.
Really?
Still do. Guys that I work, not so much at Waterworld, but other elements that I work at are just like, yeah, I got my SummerSlam tickets. I'm so excited and so pumped up. And like,
and they know it's fake, right? They know the stories are just bull.
It's just theater. It's live stunt theater. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. I went to a WCW Monday Night Nitro. I was like 14 or 15.
The amount of Mountain Dew in that audience.
Oh my God. Ooh. And not just that, like it was in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So the Osmonds were in the front row.
Caffeine free Mountain Dew. In Salt Lake City.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mormons don't like that caffeine.
When you're in the stands at one of those events, like up high, it does look real though.
What do you mean it looks real?
Like,
yeah.
Like all the punches and the drop kicks.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
Looks real anyway.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, when you're watching at home or something, you can see like
They're sort of marking it.
Yeah.
And like hitting doing the stomp.
Definitely.
Nobody chops anybody in the chest in a real fight.
But like.
But an open hand
slap across the chest. Oh, yeah. Well, it hurts.
Like you can knock somebody out, especially if you hit them with the wrist bones.
Like, yeah.
That was a Boss Rutan thing. I used to train mixed martial arts and mostly Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but I did a seminar with Boss Rutan, if you know who Boss Rutan is. And that dude is scary in real life.
Yeah,
and
he was like a pioneer of UFC, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he was pioneer for all mixed martial arts before, well before the UFC. He was fighting Pankration in Japan. Damn. And just, and Pankration, they don't have close fists to the face.
Mm.
So, but he had knockouts with slaps.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he would talk about it, too, because you can hit with the wrist bones. It's real easy to break your hands without, like, most people don't realize that boxing gloves and MMA gloves are not really to protect the other guy. They're to keep you from breaking your hand because the fight's over if your hands are all broken. You know, you overhand right somebody and they drop their forehead into your fist, you're going to break your hand. So they created these things. So that's another thing. If you hit somebody with an open hand, you can hit them hard and not worry about breaking your hand.
Oh shit.
Yeah, bro.
World I remember star. I used to do that this bottom bone. That's how I put together a treehouse, cuz I broke both my wrists at the same time. What? So I fell out of a tree and I broke both my wrists at the same time, so I had two casts on both arms.
Oh,
that summer.
God. Can you say like, a picture of that?
It was like the start of the summer of me being like 12 or 13. And me and my buddy were making this dope ass 7-level treehouse, right? So we had all this wood, and I'm just like, hand me the
seven
nail.
Level
so
jealous. Treehouse?
I swear to God,
I always wanted a treehouse.
Swear to God, it was Jesus. It was
children of the 80s all wanted treehouses because kids had the clubhouse and the tree, and it was the coolest
it's
thing.
It's so awesome. Pedal go kart. So,
Cody, when you break both your wrists and you're in a cast, like this is one of my fears, right?
Yeah, totally.
Like a lot of bad things had happened to me, but if you can't wipe your own ass, like what?
I still had fingers.
So you just had to like kind of dig in there. Yeah,
you dig. It's very much a scoop thing.
Okay.
You know, the cast went around my palm.
So and then I had the my fingers. Of and then fecal bacteria on those casts.
Yeah. Oh, and they smelled so bad by the time I had to take them off.
And your hair's all long too, right? When they cut them off.
My hair?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Arm hair's all long.
Arm hair's super long.
Did fucked up friends.
Your bangs
like,
are so
my
on
bangs
point.
Were just gorge.
Did fucked up friends like put a penny down it? Put a penny down your cast?
Okay. What?
Did your friends put pennies down your cast?
Actually, like that's funny you say that. I put a 50 cent piece so far down that I couldn't get it out. And so when the doctor cut, there was a 50 cent piece in my cast. And it's like I had John F. Kennedy's face
burned
into my skin for a good two or three days.
For the millennials, a 50 cent piece is...
it's a form of currency.
It's a form of currency and coin. For 50 cents, it's not a firearm owned by the rapper 50 Cent.
I have a game.
Okay, let's get it.
I have a game for us to play.
Oh, man. All right.
So,
horrible at games.
Because of what is going on in the world...
What's
going on in the world? That's weird.
There was a...
world.
There's this kind of urgency to ban people that aren't U.S. citizens.
Got it.
From this country.
Yeah.
Or that are for this country.
Yeah.
There's just
as long as if they come from countries ever that are on the list.
Yeah. So this is prompted me and Jenny had lunch with some friends that just moved to town, Lindsay and Nate, and Lindsay's applying for her citizenship.
Where's she from?
South Africa.
Okay. All right. Great place.
Yeah. And basically, we were going through her test booklet of like her study guide.
Oh, shit. You're going to pull this out on me?
And like, dude, I don't think a lot of people can get this shit right.
Okay. Well, I'm curious. So, I'm ready to be tested.
I just remembered. no, go ahead. Let's.
But like, there's. So the test there, there's 100 questions.
Got it.
And, you and like they ask you 10 and you have to get 6 right.
Eight
right to become a citizen.
That's an 80% score.
Yeah. And it's verbal. It's all verbal in there.
Okay.
So
I'm excited.
I feel like if we play this like every week.
I am super excited.
It's like every week we play this game a little bit and then maybe our audience can actually be citizens.
Nice. They'd be prepared to be their own citizens.
Cody, you obviously went to real college.
No.
Dude, I and like no. Do not be Do not feel self-conscious because I hardly got any right.
I honestly don't think I'll get any right either, but I'm super excited.
All right, here we go.
Because I love these questions.
Here we go. So a lot of these, and a lot of these in the test, like you have to like say exactly what the answer is.
Are they multiple choice or do you just immediately have to say it?
You just have to say it.
Do we answer it in like a Jeopardy format?
Yeah, what is 1792 or whatever?
We'll do five.
Yeah. you are gonna
I'm gonna
us.
Win!
What is 1792 or whatever?
We'll do America. Five. Like I'll throw one to Cody and then I'll throw one to you, Dan.
Yeah,
and then
let's
we'll
do
just,
it.
Sure.
Yeah, let's we'll do just, it. Let's
we'll
do it.
If I don't know, I'll do my best to give you a funny voice.
Okay.
That deserves a funny voice.
So, Cody, what do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution?
Bill of Rights.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct.
I feel like I'm blanking on my own name.
Okay.
Swear. Swear I'm an American.
Jump around
knowledgeable.
Here.
No, you got it. I actually, you scream red, white, and blue.
Do I?
Yeah, but
I'm
in the British
American
way.
Here.
But in the British
really?
Way. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, good. I scream red, white, and blue.
That's right, sir.
When I'm talking.
Let's do.
Yes, Dan.
Dan, what is freedom of religion?
What is it?
Yeah.
That's the question?
Yeah.
It's the right to freely practice any religion that you so choose?
That is correct, sir.
Yay! Ding, 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 ding!
Of course, you asked me the religion question.
And the alternate answer is, the full answer is you can practice any religion or not practice a religion.
Which I do every day.
Absolutely.
I'm not right. practicing right now.
There you go.
What's there to practice if it doesn't exist?
You're right.
So, 1-1. You guys are both on your way to citizenship.
All right, sounds great.
Oh, look at that. Half of your listeners just signed
look
off.
Look at that. That's right. That's
I'm
right.
sorry, guys. Yes, the Earth is 6,000 years old.
What if we started with like a terrible accent at the beginning of this, and then before it was all said and done, if we hit 8... Oh, all of a sudden I have an American accent.
I am American.
Cody.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Real American Hulk Hogan, tying it back together. That's a callback,
it.
Isn't
that
what it's
called? All right. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence?
What are two rights, which would be the Bill of Rights?
Two rights in the Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's odd. The two rights. I mean, if it's the Declaration of Independence, that's not our Constitution.
I know that. You think about what it says.
Well, the Declaration of Independence states that we have the right for representation for taxation.
Sorry,
that's
buddy.
Why we have the Declaration of Independence.
I believe. Do you want?
You want to steal?
Steal it.
Damn,
steal
it. Think about it. You have the right to...
No.
The pursuit of...
Oh, happiness,
yes.
freedom.
Yeah.
All of that shit. Yeah,
good
yeah.
steal,
and property.
Dan.
Yeah, that's
property.
Yeah, the correct answer, two rights. All you'd have to say is life, liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness.
Used to say property.
Is that a right? Is that the question? Yeah. What are your rights?
It's confusing.
What are two rights in the Declaration
of Independence?
Yeah, it
makes me think of like... Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Okay.
And you have the right to be the best at everything or be terrible. Sorry, I'm working on it still.
Okay, Dan.
It's pretty good.
It's very formulaic when you watch that guy.
Yeah,
he's going to mention someone or a group and say whether they're wonderful, great guy, or terrible, or fake. Yeah,
or overrated.
He's just going to always have that system.
Yeah, he's the very overrated Stranger Things guy said he's going to punch me in the face.
Right.
Dan.
Yes.
Who is in charge of the executive branch?
The executive branch would be the president.
Ding,
the
ding, 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 ding. Correct. Dan.
Donald John.
Chump.
Trump.
Chomp. Okay, Cody.
Yeah.
Is that a... There's a gorilla. Yeah. Donald John Goria.
Let's go with...
I am the strongest gorilla.
Just throw me a question, man. Stop chicken. Stop trying to give me a hard one.
You gotta stack the deck.
He's giving
on
the...
You.
Yeah. He's giving you the...
He's like, oh, if I say, what's the freedom of religion, you respond with, religion.
No.
Okay. Cody, what does the Constitution do?
The Constitution? What does it do?
Yes.
The Constitution sets the it's the law of the land. So it sets the rules of the land in which the federal government lives by, and it separates state and federal government.
I will accept it.
Okay.
But you would have gotten it wrong in the on the test.
What would they have wanted me to say?
They would want you to say, sets up the government, defines the government, and protects basic rights of Americans.
Okay. All right.
It'd probably be good for any American to just visit one of these like immigration classes and see how hard people have to work and learn and actually just refresh their own thing.
Dude,
their own knowledge of this
fucking tight
fine country that we live in.
Okay, Cody. That's five. That was five. Dan, you're the winner. Congratulations.
Hey, congrats. You got that
steal.
He's more American.
There will be more. There will be more of these in podcasts to come.
I just want, Dan, I want you to know something. What's that? I have never, ever won a game on this stupid fucking show.
It's true. You have tied, though. You've tied before.
Yeah, I have. I did. I tied with Moxie. We put Moxie on here.
Oh, no. Oh, Moxie is the cutest kid I have seen
Thanks,
in a
man.
Really long time.
Thank
and she
you.
Was staring at me earlier.
Yeah, it's the just, beard.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like I look like Santa.
Mm.
Maybe.
Santa?
Does she know about Santa yet?
Yes, she does. She just found out about him today.
Speaking of things that don't exist. Hey, spoiler alert, kids.
No. Great. Now I have to mark this episode.
Damn it.
She's going
to
listen.
You didn't
back.
Have to put spoiler alert. There is no God.
Yeah.
But you did have to put spoiler alert.
There is no Santa. Santa
Moxie, you cannot listen to episode 58, okay?
Until you're at least...
At least 15.
15. She's going to be the one that holds on to Santa until 15.
That's right. That's right.
She's going to be the one.
She's going to find out when she gets her driver's license.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, there's no Santa.
But, what? But how'd I get this car then?
I don't know. You need to go talk to your mother.
If I had kids, I'd be like, no, Santa didn't buy that. I bought that.
That's
I paid
me.
For that. That's for me, and I can take it away.
Yeah, why are you giving all the credit to Santa
that's why
anyway?
Have kids.
That's awesome.
Oh. All right. Well, Dan.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show,
hey,
man.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you had a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Great time.
Yeah, I really feel like we satisfied each other. You guys want to go to the gym sometime?
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Let's go right
cool.
now.
Let's totally go to the gym.
You're going
to
bring your jean shorts?
I'm already wearing them. There's nothing to bring.
Yeah.
So you are on Instagram?
Yes.
You want some followers?
Do you want to plug yourself a little bit here, Dan?
Yeah. I mean, I plug myself as often as I can. It's at NEFXDan on Instagram. The website is necessaryevilfx.com, but it's outdated, so just look at the Instagram.
Yeah, get the grams.
Because I know how to update the Instagram, not so much
it's
the
website. It's the best. He's got some great photos. Check him out. Visit him. Like him. Share him. Be a fan of Dan Gilbert and his skills.
Oh, shout out to Herm's House Radio Podcast.
Herm's House. What up, Herm's?
They're cool. Listen to them. They do like news, but like cool news.
Oh, they do cool news. Alternative cool news or just cool news?
Like today I listened to one where like a girl refused to give up her chicken nugget at gunpoint. She slapped the gun away. It was like,
was this a police
no,
or was this a robbery?
A robbery.
Hell
somebody
yeah.
wanted her nugget and she was like, fuck off.
Eat it and be like, you're going to shoot me?
Yeah. But like they do that kind of, they deliver that kind of news and it's awesome. Herm's House Radio.
Herm's House Radio.
Check them out.
Check and, out Herm's House Radio.
So I Married a Movie Geek, of course.
So I Married a Movie Geek. Justin, Chrissy, what up?
What's up, y'all? And Questionable Viewing Habits.
Yeah.
They're awesome, too.
They're a little questionable. Bad joke. Okay.
I love
do you guys shout each other out? Is that what happens?
I try to. You know,
sometimes.
It's sort of a podcast community, and
that's cool.
You know,
try to be fair. You know,
share
give some love. You know,
I just started listening to podcasts.
They're fun, man.
Yeah,
just kind of.
I think there's a missing avenue of VFX podcasts.
There we go.
And like, they're great for like long. Like you're like drawing out designs or putting on makeup for hours and hours. You just throw on a podcast and
yeah,
go
driving.
To town. Yeah,
you guys are one of my only subscriptions.
Yes.
We want to thank you for that.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Man.
You're one of our only listeners.
We're counting on your listens. Write a review on iTunes. See you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And if that's not enough for you, we're all over social media, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And you can bookmark our website, thedanandcodypodcast.simplecast.fm. Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy and shit, bro.